I want to introduce to you a great man. And I really do consider, because of his heart towards God. You know, God said this of David. And I know we know the verse. It says that God said that David was a man after God's own heart. And God knows what is best. And God knows the truth. And so even though David may have done this or that, you know, that was David's life, but God considered him because of his heart for God. And that's what I want to zone in. And, you know, I appreciate Otis that he has a heart for God. I know he's not perfect. All I got to do is ask Marjorie. And now I have all his kids here. I can ask them, you know. We know that. Who is? That's why we need a Savior. Because of his perfection as a Savior, we can have forgiveness. And so, but I appreciate him and his family. And without further ado, Otis, would you please come and give him the respect and honor that he deserves. Amen.
Oh, hello. Good morning, everybody. I'm really overwhelmed by the turnout, especially with the awesome weather we have outside. Oh, hallelujah. I wasn't going to say this, but we had a couple of deaths in the family this week. My grandson lost his great uncle. When was that? Wednesday night. And then me and Marjorie was lying down. My birthday was the 16th. I took the day off and we were resting and got a call from my daughter and said Lukey had passed away. Lukey is my second cousin. Beverly was married to my first cousin. And it overwhelmed me. I really hurt for Cameron. It threw me. I knew the pain he would be in. And then I knew the pain Beverly would be in. Lukey came out of the blue. Nobody. It just happened. You don't know when God is going to call your name. You have no idea. 46 years old, and God called him away. I turned 52 on Friday. My dad lived to be 56, and God called him away. So I'm trying to get as much as I can in before it's 56. But I don't follow what happens to your parents, happen to you. I don't follow if they have cancer, you're going to have cancer, or they're going to, I'm walking with Jesus. He's the one that's going to guide my steps, not my mother or my father or my grandparents, although I love them very dearly, but they're not going to guide my path. The Lord is going to guide my path. So if y'all don't mind, I want to pray for the families before we start. This was something I wasn't expecting this week, but things happen always when you're unexpected. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. I lift up the Como family. I lift up the Johnson family, the Hargrave family, and Miss Beverly's family. I lift them all up to you, Lord. Send them the comforter today, Lord, that they would be comforted to know where their loved ones are today, that you are the leader, Lord, in our lives, that you lead us where we need to go, that you know where Mr. Como went, and you know where Mr. Hargrave is right now. And you're in charge of their lives, Lord. Send them the peacemaker, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, Lord, to touch them today, Lord. And touch them as the weeks go by. The pain of losing a loved one is overwhelming, Lord. But we're going to lean on your shoulders, Lord. And we're going to come through this with flying colors, Lord. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. During the week, Saturday, Joseph got in touch with Joe and Jelaine about that last song that played. About a year ago, Brother Joe preached on the same scriptures. I have it in my little tablet. I saved stuff from way back. And the Lord revealed something to him in those scriptures. And as he was preaching on those scriptures, the Lord revealed something to me in those scriptures. And the only way I can understand that is the four gospels. And I said it this morning. That's why we have four gospels. John saw something one way. Matthew saw something one way. Luke and John, they all saw it the same thing, but read their books. How they're a little bit different. If y'all want to turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. These two gentlemen that passed away this week, I don't know their hearts. I don't know where they were in their walk with Jesus. I know them as friends, as meeting him, acquaintance. Me, Lukey, Wade, my little brother, and Lukey's older brother, Jeffrey, we played for years together. They lived like two blocks from my house. Jeffrey's closer to my age. Lukey's closer to my younger brother's age. But we'd play football in their yard. Every weekend, that's where we were. Poor Miss Beverly. She had to take care of 10, 12 boys. And she did an awesome job. Nobody ever left her house with a broken bone or being thirsty or being hungry. She took care of us. That was awesome. But nobody knows their hearts. I can't tell you where they are. I could only tell you what I believe they are. And I believe they're both in heaven. I do truly believe that. I don't look at their circumstances. I don't look at their way of life. I look at my relationship with Jesus. When he was hanging on the cross, and there was two thieves, one on each side of him, and one of them gave his heart to Jesus that night before he passed away. So he was in paradise that same evening with Jesus. So whether they made their peace and accepted him when they were young or when just before you pass away, you're still with him. He still brings you home. So never worry about what you can't control. I can't control if Leslie's going to go to heaven. I can't control. I just can tell them the truth and move on. I can't do their will for them. They have to choose what they want to do. I can't choose what Heather does. I can't choose what Joseph does. I could be a really proud father like I am right now, but I can't choose their lives for them. I can just teach them, show them the path, then they have to take it upon themselves to move that path. So I'm believing if something happens to them tomorrow, that they're going to be in heaven because I taught them the door. I taught them the way to heaven. There's only one way. I taught them that way. So all I can do is believe that they're going to take that way. I can't do any more. And what I'm going to do is read from chapter 37, verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way to 10. Then we're going to come back and we're going to go over it. And yes, these are very small letters. The hand of the Lord was upon me, that's Ezekiel, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, that's Ezekiel, O Lord God, you know. He doesn't know. None of us know. But we know in the King. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I held, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then we rejoiced. Then we rejoiced in the Lord. That's when we rejoice, when the names are written in the book of life. That's when we rejoice. When them bones were dry, we didn't rejoice then. I grew up in a household that didn't follow God. We were told about God. We were told we had to go to catechism. We were told we had to go to church. We were told these things. Mom and Daddy didn't go to church. I didn't go to church while I was in the house either. When I had the car to go to catechism, I went play with the friends. I didn't even make it to the building. I see a lot of heads shaking, yeah. So I had to learn this all upon my own. So for years and years, I had my own beliefs. I had my own will. And what happened was somebody prophesied it on me. So let's start at the first verse. The hand of the Lord came upon me. How many times in your life have you felt the Lord? Might have been a hand, might have been a vision, might have been just a whisk of wind, and you knew it was him. How many times has he touched y'all? And what did y'all do after he touched y'all? The Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. How many believe in here that you are where he put you? Amen. Amen. Because I believe that wholeheartedly. I think I told Pastor Joe not too long ago, or you overheard me telling y'all, that I had a dream that I was sitting right where the brother is right there, and Brother Joe was standing up right there preaching to me. I had that dream long before I even thought he was a preacher. We knew each other in high school, but we never mixed together. We just high, and me and Jelaine were in all the same classes, but we never, all this time, they were going to church. I wasn't. But who would have believed that he put me here? I believe that. There's a reason I'm here. I have no idea what it is, and I'm sticking around to find out. I just want to know, and I want to make sure I'm there. So imagine your unsaved friends. The Lord puts you at a specific place, at a specific time, in his time. So you can be with these set of people, this set of people, that set of people. You're in that place because God put you there. And you're surrounded by unsaved people. You do have saved people. That's not what I'm preaching about today, but I'm preaching that God put you, took you from where you are, born you in a specific time. He raised you in a specific time to where you would be at where you are right now. Everyone in here prays for unsaved family, friends. But that's the reason he put you where you were. I married Marjorie, and when I married him, I didn't know her brother was a preacher. That wasn't my part of life. That wasn't actually Marjorie's either, because she didn't go to church as far as I know at that time either, because we didn't go together. But I got to know her brother. Her brother's a pastor in Abbeville. He's retiring, actually. He's been doing it since he was 33. He started feeding me the Word of God. He didn't force it to me. He just spoke it, just like we're speaking now. He didn't grind it in me or anything like that. He'd send me home with books, stuff to read, which I never read. Honestly, how many times people gave you something for the gospel, and you got home and you set it on the kitchen table, it stayed there until you picked it up the next time and brought it back to them? And I didn't. I'm not proud of it. I am ashamed of it. But I was where I was supposed to be. When I started my job in Abbeville, I met another pastor. Why he keeps putting pastors in my life, there's this beyond my imagination. But Falk, he preaches in Lafayette. And he was the service manager at the time at Ray Chevrolet. So we went on a trip to Michigan to see a new car that they had put out. And they actually put me in the same room as him. I drank at the bar, and I visited the bar, and I'd come home. I'd come to the room late at night, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was sleeping in his bed with his Bible on the corner of the bed. He was right there. When I look in on him, that's the first thing I would see. And that kept on all week. Well, the first couple of days I drank, the last 3 days I didn't. I couldn't. It just didn't taste good. Doesn't mean I was saved then. It just means something was convicting me. I think he was praying. He seen me coming into the, I'm sure he seen me coming into the room drunk. And he would pray for me while I was sleeping. So you have one person planting a seed, which was Marge's brother. And then you have the second person, which was Pastor Fault, watering that seed. And then God did the increase. Verse 2, then he caused me to pass by them all. And behold, there were very many in open valleys. And indeed, they were very dry. Before you heard the word, and this is the way I seen it in my image. Before I had the word, I was just a bunch of dead bones. Just walking through life. Until I had the word in me, I was just walking dead bones. When Pastor Romero and Pastor Falk started feeding those words to me, I started growing. As it says a little bit further, I started having tendons. My bones raised up. I started having tendons coming in. The word came in me, my flesh started growing. I started moving around. But until I accepted Jesus in my life, I was still dead. I was a walking dead man. Until you accept Jesus into your life and you ask him to come in and live with you and you choose, because he knows your heart, we don't. Each and every one of us could pray with a person and him accept, but we don't know their heart. Only God knows it. We're obeying the Father by doing these things. But we don't know their heart. We might never see the person we're praying for ever saved. But we know it in our heart that he will be. Now, and he said to me, this is verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered, O Lord, you know. Matthew 19 and 26. Honestly, it's easier for me to read up here. I went and get some new glasses Thursday. So I should get them this week. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Ezekiel knew that. Ezekiel knew Ezekiel was doing nothing but obeying the Lord. We need to know all we're doing is obeying God. When we're planting that seed in that other person's life, we're obeying God. We did our part. He's smiling. When we go to the next person and do that, and honestly, do you know if you're planting a seed or if you're watering a seed? When you're talking to that person, you have no idea. You don't know if you're planting that seed or watering that seed. So you need to obey him like it says a little bit further, he obeyed God and he prophesied on them bones. Now, everybody in life goes by things. They buy big things, might be a house or a car. You may need a cosigner. That's life. That's this world's life. Some people do, some people don't. In the kingdom of God, everyone in here needs a cosigner. Without Jesus signing for you, you're not getting through the pearly gates and walking on the streets of gold. So you always need him. From the time you open your eyes in the morning to the time you close them at night and in between, you need him. He is your cosigner. The reason that came up, a customer said that. Jesus is my cosigner. And that's the only one that'll ever cosign for me. I said, awesome. I said, awesome. We need to walk with him. He needs to be our. He's the one that climbed the hill on Calvary. He's the one that got to the place of the skull. He's the one that they nailed to the cross. He's the one that shed the blood for us, that we could be sin free to enter into heaven. He's the only one that can clean us. He's the only one. And I hear it on TV all the time. That's why I don't like to watch TV anymore. I won't watch the news. I just won't. Marjorie will turn off the news right when I get in the house. I do not want to hear that. It's not true. I do not want to feed my spiritual man that kind of stuff. I really don't. And it really angers me. There's only one man, one God, that can open that door. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. He's the only one that can open that door to heaven. And if you don't accept him as your Lord and Savior, you are not going to see. And it says it in the Word. Y'all can look it up. If you do not accept him and believe that he died on the cross for you, you will not see heaven. You will not see his kingdom. Period. Sorry, I don't know. Whew. I went off there for a little while. Now, going to number 4. Again, he said to me, boy, God's really on Ezekiel right here. I mean, I want that. I want him to be talking to me all the time. I want him to be pushing on me all the time. I'm sorry to say I am a person that needs to be pushed. I'll do things, and I don't mind doing things. But when I'm finished with that thing, I need to be pushed into the next thing. And that's what God's doing to Ezekiel right here. He's not letting him rest. He's pushing him because he knows what's in Ezekiel's heart. And I believe, and this was in Ezekiel's heart before God even picked him up and brought him to it. I believe that was in his heart. Just like it's been in Pastor's heart to pray for the family and the friends of all of us that they would be saved. You get that in your heart, and God knows that's in your heart, and he helps you. And I think this is what he's doing with Ezekiel. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say unto them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy the word of God to your unsaved family and friends. Imagine that they're walking with Jesus. Don't stop. Don't stop. I was listening to a person. He calls himself a preacher. There's a lot of men and women out there that call themselves certain things. Test them. That's what it says in the Word. Test them. because they're going to give you enough of the good stuff to where they could slide that bad stuff right in. But it's, that's why I don't like to watch TV. I don't watch preachers on TV. I do listen to Jimmy Swaggart when I can, because lately, I don't know, their signal has been horrible to me. I can't pick it up. But I listen to music and gospel music, not like the last song. What is it called? Come Alive. Come Alive. I knew this sermon was for me this week because Marjorie last week was driving to the store and she called me. She said, I just heard this awesome song and it's a lot about your sermon. I said, oh, yeah? So she sent it to me and I listened to it. Then we sent it to, and it all just fell into place. So I knew it was God. But imagine your family and friends walking with you or walking with Jesus. Might not be true at this time. Imagine them doing it. I imagine a lot of things. I'm going to pick on Micah. I wanted him to bring his girlfriend and his family, and he forgot to ask him, so I'm going to pick on him. But since he was two, three years old, he's been coming to church with us. He would play the drums on the back of the chair. He would praise God. At 2 years old, he was doing all this stuff. And I believe he has a heart for God. And I keep imagining him standing up, talking to his crowd, his people, his friends and family, and telling them about God. I imagine this all the time. And I believe it's going to come to pass. I believe it's going to come to pass because I keep prophesying it. My grandson will preach the word of God. I don't know if it's going to be here or if it's going to be in another ministry or if it's going to be overseas. Or I just see him speaking the word of God. It could be just with friends at work. I don't know that far, but I do see him, and I keep imagining it, and I keep saying it. Every time I imagine it, I speak, yes, Lord, amen. He will preach the word. He will be in your will, and I keep saying it. Unsaved ones, too. When I was just first saved, I had a person that I really wanted to talk to God about and to be with him with God. But I had to plant a seed, and you couldn't talk to him about it. There's a lot of people, you just can't talk to them about it. So for some came to my mind and said, write scriptures on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, and put it in his mailbox. So whatever scripture was on my mind that day, I would put it on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope. I knew he would sleep late. I knew when he was at home. So I made sure he didn't know it was me until today. He probably still doesn't. I don't remember. I'd put the envelope with his name on it, nothing else. And then he had to read it or he had to throw it away. But he had that seed. Today, he is saved. I'm not saying it's because of that, but he is saved. I guess one person planted that seed. I don't know if I watered the seed that was already planted or if I planted that first seed and God used someone else to come and water it. But God did the increase. He does the increase. He wants everyone's heart to be the same. He wants, we got to get together. And when he's not coming for his church until we're all together in one accord, we're all in the word, we're all doing his will. Until that happens, and until we get enough people knowing the word, that's not going to happen. Don't think you have to go out there and save somebody. That's what I thought it was when I first became a Christian. I had to go out there and bring some people in. It's not what he's asking for. He's not asking for you to bring them to church, which is nice. Please bring them. I'm not saying not to, but that's not what his goal is. His goal is for you to go out there and plant that word. There's two powerful tools that Jesus uses. Number one, his blood. That's one of the most powerful tools he has. That's how we cleanse ourselves of our sins and that. Now, we can use the word, which is most powerful. We can use that word. Pray on it. God, how do you want me to approach this person? God, how do you want me to do it? He might not answer you right away. It might take a few weeks. It might take a month. Remember, God has no time. Time is irrelevant. Time is nothing to him. We live by time. We have to be up at a certain time. We have to be to church at 9 o'clock next week. We have to abide by time. I have to finish at a certain time, unless y'all want to stay all afternoon. It's up to y'all. But there's a time for the beginning, because he is the beginning, and there's a time for the end, because he is the end, that we have to abide by. He doesn't have to abide by any time. So, in 1 Corinthians, Paul was speaking, and this is where I got that from. It's a short verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul is speaking. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's all we have to learn. It's very simple. You plant the word in their lives. However you have to do it. You can do it by giving them a song. How many young kids like music? How many young kids talk to their friends? Talk to their friends and see what's happening in their life. And then they listen to a Christian song and it reminds them so much of that person. And how many of y'all ever emailed them, texted them? Whatever y'all do, what else y'all do? Tweeted them. That song, so they could hear it. That's planting a seed. You might be watering a seed that's already been planted by that song. Doesn't it say in the word, everything that the devil used for evil, God used for good? The devil uses the internet. It's horrible. The devil uses the internet. I have to work in the internet. That's all I do all day. But I use the internet to listen to the Bible going to work. I use the internet to listen to the preaching. I listen at noon every day. They have a pastor that preaches on Sunlight Broadcasting every day. It might be Larson or it might be something else. It's mostly Larson, but you get to listen to the word while I'm in the world. But there's so many ways to plant that seed or water that seed that's already been planted. There's so many ways. You don't have to just walk up to and talk to them anymore. That was the first thing that God told us to go do, and go out and spread the gospel. Amen? That's what he told the go out and spread it. He didn't say you had to spread it just by word, by signs. Spread the word. So that leaves it open. We have so many different ways to spread the word today. We can spread it in a song. We can spread it in, on the internet. We can spread it. Ms. Gail and Mr. Leonard, every day I get a scripture. Every day I get a scripture. If I don't like the people that I'm watching, don't delete them. I don't. I just stop following them. Because you got to protect your heart. Because the devil knows exactly how to get in there. And he keeps watching for that little opening you give him. Once you give him that little opening, I promise you, he's coming inside. So anything you watch, hear, sing, whatever you're doing during the day, don't open that little gap. Ever seen a little mouse? Little mouse, about that big, and they got a hole that big in the wall, and he climbs through it. That's the devil. You're not giving him much of a hole to pass through, but he's going to pass through it. And you have to choose not to accept it or not. Now, verse 5, thus saith the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. While you're planting that seed and you are watering that seed, they did that, but I didn't get saved right away. Until I accept that breath of life into my nostrils, I'm still dead bones. I'm still dead bones. Until I actually say that prayer and accept him into my heart and life, I'm still dead bones. He still doesn't see me. Your God is a graceful God. But he goes by rules, and it's his rules. And he's not going to break his rules. If you don't accept him, you don't accept his kingdom. You're not going to see his kingdom. It's not hard. Like all the people say, it's not rocket science. It's very simple. You got to accept him to see the kingdom. I will put sinews. Am I saying that right? Sinews? That is tendons. I looked it up. That is the tendons that hold the muscles to the bone, which mine are very sore right now because of my son. It's all his fault. On you, and bring flesh unto you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. The words are going to put the flesh on the bones. The words that you're feeding them, they're going to grow just like flesh grow. As long as I'm working out that bicep muscle, that bicep muscle is going to grow. As long as he keeps hearing that word, it's going to grow in him or her. It's going to grow. But until that person accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior, God can't blow the breath of life into him. Because he gave us our own will. When we were born with our own will. Until we accept him as Lord and Savior, that's when he blows that breath. That's why when you were saved and you said that prayer, what was the feeling? We're not supposed to go by feelings. But everything just came off. That breath just went into your nostril and you became clear. You started seeing different. That's the breath of life blowing into you. That's you accepting. That's you accepting the Lord as your Savior. And he's blowing his spirit into you. I pray. I don't know if y'all notice it, but when I'm standing here, I'll lift my hands and I'll pray for y'all. I pray for the whole group because I love each and every one of y'all. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would blow the wind, the spiritual wind into your lives, that the light that's in you would grow, that the darkness has to flee. I pray that every time I'm up there on each and every one of y'all, when y'all got that breath of life, it's so much different. It's, and you're not supposed to go by feelings. You're supposed to go by faith. I have that faith that everyone is going to heaven. And not everyone's going to heaven. But he said we can prophesy to the dead bones. He said we can prophesy that everyone would be saved. We can do it. And how many times have we prayed for a breakthrough? And we noticed that breakthrough never came. How many times do you think we stopped praying moments before that breakthrough was coming? How many times? I don't want to stop. If I start praying for a person, I don't want to stop praying for that person, because I don't know when the breakthrough is coming through. I may never see that breakthrough, but I'm going to continue praying because I don't know if it didn't come or not. God will tell you what you need to do and what you don't. Awesome. That song, God hears your prayers. Oh, that song is just, it lifts me up so high. When you know God heard your prayers, that's all you have to know. I prayed for this person and God heard me. That's what I needed to know. I already know it. So now I start imagining him saved. I start imagining him being in the Word. I don't stop praying for him. Don't ever stop praying for me, please. Don't ever stop praying for Pastor Joe. Sister Jelaine, don't ever stop praying for them. Don't ever stop praying for your kids. Don't ever stop praying, because I promise you, he heard your prayers. I promise you, he heard your prayers. And I'm almost done. Indeed, as number 8. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews, the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over, but there was no breath in them. You start seeing the life in them. You start seeing different things happening as you planting that seed. But until they accept the Lord, there's no breath in them. They're still dead. And I'm talking spiritually. The bones that Ezekiel saw had no spirit in them. No spirit. We have body, soul, and spirit. We have that. So every person that's walking on this earth has them. The spirit I'm talking about is Jesus' spirit, God's spirit. That's the one I'm talking about. That's the one that everybody needs. Because without that one, those three are worth nothing. They're nothing in his eyes. They don't see him at all. They're nothing in his eyes. Also he said unto me, prophesy to breathe. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army, And now you rejoice because their names are written in the book. Their names are printed in the book. Keep those families in your prayers this week. Beverly, her son was a lot to her. I know she's in pain. I know the Como family and the Johnson family are hurting right now. Keep my grandson in prayer. Keep Cameron in prayer today. Cameron's uncle's not going to be buried till Wednesday. And then Lukey's going to be buried tomorrow. So keep their families in prayer this week. Before I close today, I want to call out, is there anyone here? Can y'all please close your eyes and bow your heads? Is there anyone here that haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior yet? Anyone in here? Anyone in here that needs to renew their commitment to Jesus? You are God's army. Each and every one of you sitting down and me standing up. Y'all are his army. He's commanding y'all to go out and plant seeds and water seeds. That's all he's asking y'all to do. He can do the rest. If no one needs prayer, we're going to end. Father God, I lift up these children to you, your children, Lord. I lift them up to you so you can do your will in their lives, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit to blow the breath of life into each one of their nostrils, Lord, today. That your light would shine so bright in them that there would be no place for any darkness. The darkness would have to flee, Lord. Keep them safe as they walk in down the highways and byways, as they're driving. Keep a hedge of protection around each and every one of them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Keep your word in their lives, Lord, that they would know the things to say. Lord, I want to thank you for this word today, for giving me the word that you wanted to share with your children, Lord. Thank you for using me, your humbled servant. Protect them as they go. Protect their children. Protect their families, Lord. I lift up each one of their family members and friends that are not saved, and I claim in their lives that they know you and they will be saved. I pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. And then if Pastor Joe wants to come up and he can close.